Welcome back to Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson. Thanks for joining. If there's any single project that we keep coming back to these days on Detroit Today, it is District Detroit. It's not just because the project as it stands now would mean a lot of money, a lot of development flowing to parts of downtown. It's also because $800 million is being requested by the project developers to complete it. That's $800 million in tax breaks they say is necessary to make the financing work. And of course, that leaves us with a pretty big question. What would this project's completion mean for the general public? Led by the Illich family's Olympia Development and Stephen Ross's related companies, these new plans include building residential and commercial complexes, hotels, and on-site parking, all right around Little Caesars Arena. It's estimated to cost $1.5 billion and projected to be done by 2028. Yesterday, there was a public meeting where Detroit City Council members had the opportunity to vote on whether the deal would move forward. To talk about what happened at that meeting and where we go from here, we've got Annalise Frank here with us. She's a Detroit reporter for Axios. She's been covering the ongoing story with District Detroit. Annalise Frank, welcome back to Detroit Today.
Thank you for having me. Good to be here.
So let's start with yesterday's meeting. What happened when council took this up?
Yes. So last week, council moved a bunch of items related to this District Detroit project out of committee to the full body for a vote on Tuesday, or a potential vote. So this is city commercial and residential tax incentives, and then also a larger state tax incentive. You mentioned the total figure there earlier. And then they're also looking at approving or not approving a community benefits agreement that the developers had kind of negotiated with the city and with representatives of community over the last couple months. Yeah. So this was before council yesterday, and it was unclear whether they were going to vote or not. And we heard from a bunch of residents and stakeholders during public comment, upwards of probably 100 people between in-person comment and virtual comment, lasting several hours. And ultimately, City Council decided not to vote yesterday. They delayed the vote for a week so they could vote next Tuesday. That would be the soonest that this would happen.
And there's, so first of all, I mean, I listened to some of the meeting. There was a lot of folks down there, and people were pretty worked up about not just the developers who were involved here, but worked up about council and council members and their impression of how they were doing their jobs. But let's talk about what it means to delay this. There is something of a time crunched if they want to get this project going by summer. Is that right?
Yes. So some city officials and the developers have made it clear, especially last week, that they are brushing up against some timelines here. So they are looking for state approval for some of these tax incentives, and they are seeking that state approval in April. So if they are able to get that, it's kind of, this sort of cascading effect. If that's delayed, it ultimately delays the construction start date, which they're looking to start construction on the first building halfway through the year, basically. So, they're saying that time is of the essence here. We're at City Council yesterday. City official Nicole Sherrod Freeman was there to answer some questions and presumably kind of, try to move this along. But also, council has been saying that they have a lot of questions. They have a lot of concerns they want addressed. So they are, looking to take their time with this to an extent. I mean, some council members also mentioned that they agree time delays can kill a deal or can hurt mm-hmm. a deal. Scott Benson had said this. So there's definitely both of those perspectives.
Yeah. I'm talking with Annalise Frank. She's a Detroit reporter for Axios. She's been covering the ongoing story around District Detroit, this proposal for a big development around and near Little Caesars Arena in downtown Detroit. We'd love to hear from you during the conversation as well. What do you make of the debate about the District Detroit? What do you make of the debate about the $800 million subsidy on the table for District Detroit? Do you think that's too high? If you do, what do you think is a fair offer for public support for that kind of project? And what would you like to see become of this plan? Are you in favor of the commercial and residential and other things that that this neighborhood would include? 313-577-1019 is the number here on the phones. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to Twitter and hashtag Detroit Today, and we can work you into the conversation. I want to talk about a specific idea that Council President Mary Sheffield brought up yesterday. She wants the Illich family to agree to a 2% ticket surcharge for the city for events in the arena district. Talk about that plan. This is something that that has kind of been floating around in the air for a while. We're one of the few cities, one of the few big cities that don't get direct financial benefit from, you know, people going to entertain themselves in venues in downtown Detroit. Talk about Sheffield's proposal.
Yeah. So this is a really interesting piece of the talks that are going on and sort of the discussion City Council is having, almost negotiations around this deal. So Council President Mary Sheffield has made a couple asks of the developers here, and probably the most interesting one, that you mentioned, is this 2% ticket surcharge on all entertainment venues within the Illich organization's control, and that money would go to the city's general fund. It's not exactly clear how that would look for a person who's buying a ticket. If that would, you know, look like a little 2% charge, or you know, if that would be more on the back end, it seems unclear, you know, from experts that I've talked to. But this is something that, as you said, she had wanted to see in the past, and is something she's asking them to voluntarily commit to. So you know, to have a mandated tax, there would be a law change that's required. But what Sheffield is saying here is that if they voluntarily commit to it, there needs to be no law change in order to institute this essentially voluntary payment to the city. So she is asking for that. She's also asking a couple other things, and it's especially notable that the council president is asking these things because when, you know, half a year ago, more than that, when we were looking at whether council was going to approve some tax abatements for Dan Gilbert's Bedrock and the mm-hmm. Hudson site project, she also made some asks after the community benefits process, you know, like setting aside a certain number of retail spaces for small Detroit-based disadvantaged businesses. And Bedrock ended up agreeing to those extra commitments, and then City Council approved the deal. So, of course, not saying it's the same situation here, but there is a little bit of precedent for kind of making some of these asks. And we obviously don't know what the developers are going to agree to. And, you know, I asked them for comment about this ticket surcharge, and they kind of declined to comment on that. So it's sort of unclear, you know, what it'll look like moving forward.
Yeah. Again, 313-577-1019 is the number. Let's go to Bernadette in Old Redford. Bernadette, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Stephen. What troubles me the most about this is expanding office space when the knowledge people, employees, want to work from home. We don't need no more office space. Additionally, even back in the 40s, the city had projects. Now all the projects and cheap housing, like at the YW and YF, those have been decimated. And whatever housing is going to be created, I can't afford.
Yeah. You know, Bernadette, those are points that I think we heard people echo at the hearing yesterday, and I think there are a lot of folks in Detroit thinking along those same lines. Annalise, I wonder if you can talk a little about how they're addressing this question about, you know, office space. There is a fair amount of office space that would be included with this. It's not all office space. You know, there's a lot of residential and some other stuff too. But this question about whether people are coming back to offices and especially offices in downtowns, I think gives some folks a bit of pause about this project.
Yeah. We've definitely heard concerns from, you know, some residents and some council members about proving out the need for this office space that's being built, or that would be built if this is approved. So basically what the city and, you know, even Mayor Mike Duggan has weighed in on this and what the developers have been saying in response to those concerns, which, you know, we have seen a lot of people work from home. And I mean, they're very legitimate concerns. Office space down in downtowns is struggling in a lot of ways. What they're saying is that there are a couple things. One, you know, bringing in a developer like Stephen Ross to co-develop with the Illich organization. You know, Mayor Mike Duggan has said that's a game changer, that, you know, the Ross organization will be able to bring in national tenants that you know, basically he will have success, you know, is what the mayor has said in the past. And there's also been some discussion from city officials that, you know, this is newer office space. A lot of downtown Detroit's office space is quite old. They can sort of provide different amenities, this sort of quote unquote live, work, play environment. This is how they're pitching it, you know, as being different and a commodity that Detroit doesn't have. And, you know, yeah. Of course, there's concern that there's a lot of concerns about that narrative. But, you know, there's also this idea that they can offer something different that the city doesn't already have.
Yeah. Let's go next to Nadi in Detroit. Nadi, welcome to the show.
It's Nada Delgamuni. Hello, and how is everybody?
Good. How are you?
Wonderful. And, you know, Detroit definitely is always going to be the welcoming city. And the diversity in Detroit is very critical and very important. And one of the plan we have, me and a representative from 117 different ethnic community, who I don't have to go to, you know, Brazil or Ukraine or France to bring them. They all live here. And those cultural ambassadors have the concept of building, not building, actually taking over an abandoned school in North Detroit. It's called Crockett School, that they turn it to a tech center, but it didn't work because they don't have enough students, and they close it. And the city put it for sale, and we are willing to invest on that school and turn it to ID. And what ID means, international district. And in detail, that is international marketplace and cultural center, where we would like to see all the different ethnic community from African American to, you know, Latino.
That's a really, Nadi, that's a really interesting proposal. Maybe that's something that could happen alongside something like District Detroit. I really appreciate you calling, though, and letting us know about that. We've got a question on Twitter, Annalise, that I want to have you address. Micheline Maynard on Twitter says, one question is, what if City Council doesn't grant the subsidy for the District Detroit? Will the area fall into ruin? She says, I'm thinking, no, it's near the DMC. It's near Wayne State, it's not far from Orchestra Hall. As far as Detroit is concerned, it's already vibrant. What do I don't know that there's too much chance that they won't approve this subsidy, but it's an important question. If they didn't, what would happen? What do the developers say about them not doing this?
It's, you know, it's unclear to me if there could potentially be some sort of pivot, but as far as, you know, public discourse has gone, they have said they need these tax incentives to make this financially feasible, that it would not be financially feasible without them. And you know, of course, that's been a concern from some public commenters that, you know, these are a couple of billionaires and huge organizations doing this, that, you know, some people believe that they should be able to do this without incentives. But you know, in terms of, you know, what has been said and sort of the financing structure that some, you know, city officials and the developers have spoken of, you know, it just really wouldn't be feasible per them without this. But yeah, as far as something, it's hard to know, you know, if there's some sort of negotiation that could occur for something different or small. I mean, it's really hard to speculate here. It kind of feels kind of high pressure, all or nothing. But I really don't want to speculate too much on that.
Yeah, yeah. Let's go back to the phone. Cindy in the Cass Corridor. Cindy, go ahead.
Yeah, that surcharge on the tickets, it used to be, I think, 10% on the food, the beer, the tickets, the parking.
At Joe Louis, yeah. Yeah.
And I want to, if they're going to have a surcharge, let them have a surcharge enough to reimburse all the money they take out of the tips for the schools and the libraries. But we need to get those tips out of schools and libraries statewide. That's ridiculous. Michigan is at the bottom, almost. Yeah. You know, they're way down at the bottom on education. And this is just, if we could build on to libraries, we could use, I think there's a limit to how many acres or plots or whatever you can use that brownfield development, but there's no taxes on the construction material. There's no, they capture the withholding taxes and the income tax.
Yeah. And Cindy, I'm glad you called and brought up those two issues. Annalise, there were a lot of folks yesterday talking about their concerns about how these kinds of tax incentives for big development projects affect things like the library and the schools. What was council's take on all of that, I guess?
There's a lot of differing opinions from, you know, of course, council has approved tax incentives in the past. So, you know, there's obviously some willingness there. But there is, you know, this concern that, you know, these tax captures that the Downtown Development Authority takes, you know, they take some property taxes from downtown and use them for these you know purposes that you know there's concerns that it benefits businesses and it, you know if this money didn't go by law you know to the DDA that it could go to the city to the schools so there has been some concern about that it's you know it's something that would require a bigger change than is you know possible this moment but it's definitely a concern that council members have expressed as well.
Yeah. Okay. So it is going to be next week when the council takes this up again. Do we expect that they'll vote? I'm going to ask you to prognosticate a little.
I think it really depends on what happens. From my perspective, it really depends on what happens with Sheffield's asks. You know, I really don't know if they have the votes or not at this point. And I really, you know, just from my perspective, I feel like a lot is going to happen in the next week, and it could really change things. If I had to say, I think they will vote next week, but I am not. I really just I can't know. You know,
there's a lot. There's a lot up in the air. It seems right now, and a lot of negotiating still to do. So, Annalise Frank, I really appreciate you being here with us on Detroit Today. Thanks for helping us out.
Yeah, thanks so much again.
That's going to do it for us today. Come back tomorrow when we're going to talk about vaping and how it became a problem among teens in our country and how America successfully got a lot of people away from smoking cigarettes. Also, remember, if you like this show and enjoy listening to the program, get a lot out of it, please share it with your friends, your relatives, anyone you think would also enjoy it. You can find it on WDET.org or on our Detroit Today podcast, which you can download wherever you get podcasts. Detroit Today is produced by Sam Corey and Nick Austin. Our technical director and engineer is Matthew Trevethan. And Detroit Today's music is created by Sam Bobian and Will Sessions. Our student producer is Taylor Davis. This is 101.9 WDET-FM, Detroit's NPR station. Your connection to news, music, and conversation. We'll talk again tomorrow.